Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Prudence is always wisdom that is practical. I think of a saying of my mom's Aunt Annie that my mom always quoted at me frequently. I'm not sure why. All the book learning in the world don't teach you how to milk a cow.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Proverbs, chapters 1 through 10.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So, in our previous study, we jumped back into the New Testament to consider the little book of 2 John. It was, recall, listed among the spoken against books of the canon, but it actually contains nothing controversial or that goes beyond the books which everyone accepted as apostolic. In it, the Apostle John wrote to a congregation under the title Elect Lady, perhaps Ephesus, stressing the church as the bride of Christ. And he warned explicitly against the danger of false teachers coming along and misleading the church. They don't stick with the doctrine of Christ, but they move on beyond it. Only to do that is always the mark and move of the Antichrist. He always suggests that Jesus by himself just isn't enough. And this Jesus who is enough is the Jesus who still comes to us in the flesh. That is, not just at the incarnation, but in the sacrament of the altar, where he goes on giving us the gifts that his suffering and death won for us. Sticking with him, we will be blessed indeed. John was brief because he was planning on a personal visit shortly after penning his letter. Now, on to Proverbs. Perceptively, Luther says that Proverbs may justly be called a book of works, for in it, Solomon teaches how to lead a good life before God and the world. In other words, this book is what we'd call practical. It sketches out for you in detail what it looks like to live in this world by the wisdom of God. Solomon is credited with the bulk of the book, but as we work our way through it, we'll readily see that it includes bits and pieces from other authors as well, and some of them are people we know next to nothing about, save that the Holy Spirit saw fit to include their words in the inspired scriptures. Much of the book is written from the perspective of a kind and wise father, giving instruction to his son to keep him on the path that leads to life and teaching him to avoid the pit of rebellion, death, and destruction. And that indicates the spirit we need to receive the book in, not as an argumentative teen challenging every word and point along the way, but as a faithful, humble child listening to the loving instruction of a parent. Some Christians make a habit of reading a chapter of Proverbs each day to keep themselves grounded in God's wisdom, and some churches make a point of reading extensively from this book in Lent as a school of instruction in living as a child of God in the midst of this fallen world. So, with the bulk of the book written by Solomon, it likely dates from the mid-900s BC. Reading from Proverbs chapter 1, starting at the first verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word might not be bound but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and the edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you're ready to dig into Proverbs 1? Let's meditate on these words together. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. What we're about to study together is a small portion of Solomon's work, for we read in 1 Kings 4, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, and the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Remember, we just heard about some of those people in Psalms 88 and 89. But the point is that Solomon's wisdom, well, not to be too punny, was proverbial. And what we have in this volume is only a sliver of the whole, and almost nothing dealing with the natural sciences, that is, the study of this world, of its flora and fauna. But what we do have in Proverbs is a focus on wise behaviors and attitudes for human beings. The Hebrew word for proverb is mashal, and it's really bigger than the English word which we tend to hear merely as wise maxims. It has about it, well, riddle, puzzle, parable, something to engage your thinker on. And you can see that when you learn what these proverbs are given to you for. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. So the point of the proverb is to teach, but not just to impart information. Rather, so that you can know and recognize the path of wisdom and be instructed in how to live in accordance with it. Indeed, as we pray in Holy Adventide, O come, thou wisdom from on high, who orderest all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. That is, if you want to get at the inner secret of things and understand the true meaning of life, you gotta go back to the wisdom or logos by which all things were made. You have to start with Jesus, as St. Paul would remind you in 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Thus, people loved by God, as we study Proverbs and learn from it, we're coming to know Jesus ever better. For he is the wisdom of God, and he was indeed sent to us from the Father to give us the ultimate insight into the creation, ourselves, and above all, his heavenly Father. But that could leave you wandering about in the realm of theologizing and such, and the Proverbs will not let you stay there. Rather, from that insight, they intend to draw practical consequences. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. This is why Dr. Luther insisted they were a book of good works. They give us instruction not merely in the deep mysteries of God, since they come to us from the heart of Jesus himself, but they also teach us what a God-pleasing life actually looks like, acting in accordance with God's wisdom, dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. Listen to how the New Living Translation paraphrases this verse. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. I like that a lot. It focuses on our behavior and attitude toward one another. Additionally, we learn that their purpose is, verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So they're aimed at the simple and young people as well. If we listen to them and heed them, they will make a simple person, that is, not a deep thinker, an ordinary Joe, if you will, prudent. Prudence is always wisdom that is practical. I think of a saying of my mom's Aunt Annie that my mom always quoted at me frequently. I'm not sure why. All the book learning in the world don't teach you how to milk a cow. The point is not to diss book learning or philosophizing and theologizing, but to recognize that what the ordinary Joe or Jane needs is not that, but wisdom practically applied. And the gift they give to young people is knowledge and discretion. I think that means here that instead of having to learn life's lessons the hard and bitter way, they could just learn from the experience and wisdom of their elders and to not make the same foolish mistakes that we oldsters have made. But the wisdom that we're about to study is not limited to the simple and the young, for also, verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Wisdom is not the sort of possession that having it, one needs no more of it. Rather, having it, one realizes how one thirsts for it all the more. As the writer of Sirach put it, those who eat me will hunger for more, and those who drink me will thirst for more, Sirach 24:21. The more you come to know and understand, the more you thirst to know even more and to understand more deeply. And above all, to obtain from understanding solid guidance about how one is to journey through this life in such a way that we don't miss out on what this life is really all about, and so that at last we arrive at our heavenly home, the kingdom of God. And even more, verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So the proverbs are given us so that we get practice in sussing out the words of the wise and their riddles, their dark sayings. Now, our Lord Jesus, of course, gives us plenty of those in his Gospels. It's not that his words are hard to understand, but that we have to think long and hard about the import of the words. Proverbs then claims that it will help us get a clue about such riddles. And having suggested that the book is going to be of great use and benefit to the wise and the simple, the old and the young, he then goes on to first principles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Real knowledge starts with the fear of the Lord. As usually, this does mean the sort of thing Isaiah mentioned in chapter 66. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. The God who sets the stars in place and hung the earth looks down into the depths of the human heart to find the human being who trembles at God's holy words. St. Augustine in the 5th century wisely observed about the fear of the Lord, whereby human pride is broken down and weakened. But that means it's the one who first hears God's holy words, particularly his holy commandments, and who trembles at them. That is, who is a worshiper of the God of Israel, who joins in the assembly with people who attend to his instruction. That is indeed the very beginning of knowledge, knowledge of God, of ourselves, and of this world. And we're told that it is fools who despise wisdom and instruction. They've no time for listening to God speak, because they're too busy yakking themselves and listening to everyone and everything else but God. Next up, Solomon speaks as a wise father to his son, warning him about the danger of, well, gangs. That's really what Solomon describes, and he doesn't want his son falling in with a bad lot. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.